What if there were a fountain of youth pill that could add decades to your life? Would you take it? Unlocking the Fountain is a podcast about the mysteries of aging and the scientific quest to slow, stop, or even reverse it.
When do you think we're going to have the first 150-year-old? I think that person's already alive.
Unlocking the Fountain. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, welcome to Q. I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. The new movie, Love Lies Bleeding, is everywhere. If you have opened up TikTok, if you've turned on your TV or listened to a podcast, including this podcast, I mean, it's here. It's everywhere. And honestly, I don't want to tell you too much about the film besides the fact that it is intense, it's unexpected, and it stars the actors Kristen Stewart and my guest today, Katie O'Brien. They're two women who meet by chance in the 80s in America. Kristen plays a woman named Lou who runs a kind of gnarly gym in a rough small town. And Katie O'Brien plays Jackie, who is an aspiring professional bodybuilder from the Midwest, just passing through on her way to a competition.
This here's Jackie. This is Mr. Langston.
Hi.
She needs a job, says she'll do anything. I figured we could use some spare hands.
Yeah, you like guns?
Not really.
What the fuck you doing here, then?
Anyone can feel strong hiding behind a piece of metal. I prefer to know my own strength.
Is that right?
Jackie. Okay, so Jackie meets Lou, they fall in love, and then what ensues is pretty wild. Again, I really don't want to tell you too much about this. You got to see it. Katie, as an actor, has taken on some pretty challenging roles. She's been part of The Walking Dead. She's one of the few people who has been in the Marvel, DC, and Star Wars universe. And in real life, she spent 7 years working in law enforcement in Indiana. She was also a competitive bodybuilder. So she brings a lot of that experience to her role in Love Lies Bleeding, which was directed by Rose Glass. This is a film that's creating a ton of conversation and celebration for the queer community. Kristen Stewart, her co-star, has been opening up about the liberation that's come with playing Lou and about her own queerness. And I was really happy to sit down and talk with Katie O'Brien about all of it. Here's our conversation. Hey, Katie, welcome to Q.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Congrats on the film. You're incredible in it, first of all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I saw the film at a really, like at a small screening, but our producer saw it in a full theater and said that the audience participation was off the charts. Like people were yelling at the screen. People were like rowdy. Have you had the chance to see your movie with a crowd yet?
Yeah, actually, I saw it alone the first time or in a very small group. And it really is a game changer watching it in a theater. We saw it at Sundance when it released there. And it was like night and day difference, honestly. It was so much fun. People really received it in a hilarious, enjoyable way. And it was like, I don't know that I've been to a movie like that in a long time.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
I know that a fan sent you a casting call and you made a PowerPoint to make the case to get this role. Why did you really, really want to get the part of Jackie?
I mean, I had so little information right off the bat, but in the casting call, it was, you know, they were hoping to cast authentically queer actors, female bodybuilder from the Midwest. And I was like, well, okay, that's me. And then, the thing that really, you know, sealed the deal was it's A24, which I love. I'd say like almost all of their movies. I think they're incredible. So I knew it was going to be a pretty great film. It was Rose Glass, who I hadn't seen Saint Maud at the time. I'd only heard great things. And I did finally, before I auditioned, I wound up watching it. And it was incredible. And, you know, Kristen Stewart was pinned as the lead. So I was like, this is just like an incredible opportunity. And I was really interested to see what they were going to do with this character. And when I found out it was such a dynamic role, I was even more excited when I found it was in the 80s. I was like over the moon. But yeah.
The 80s really seals the deal. So
other
than being set in the 80s, I mean, I tried to set up the plot a little bit in the intro. It's kind of hard to explain. It's been described as an erotic thriller on steroids.
Yeah.
How would you describe Love Lies Bleeding?
I think that's really a great description because I it's such a genre bent movie. It's not like a lot of films that anyone's really, I think, seen before in total. So yeah, erotic thriller, I'll say action thriller on steroids is definitely, I think, pretty perfect.
The excitement in the air is palpable. The atmosphere is electric. A celebration of history in the making.
What is this place?
There's some very sexy scenes in this film. There's some very violent scenes. And a lot of them you're in with Kristen Stewart, who is your co-star. I imagine that this requires a lot of trust between the two of you. And I wanted to know how you went about building that trust together.
It for sure does. And the fortunate, or I don't know, maybe unfortunate part is we really didn't have time to do that. I booked the part, I think, 2 weeks before production started. And then it was all, you know, trying to start getting, I guess, cutting to get into bodybuilder shape. And then the intimate scenes were like the first week of filming. There really was, there was no time to really build on off too much. I think one of the things that helped, we did have an intimacy coordinator before each of our scenes. We kind of reviewed the scene in depth. We talked about what we individually needed, or were comfortable with or not comfortable with, whatever. And it turns out we both kind of were like just ready to go. And you know, the other thing was we just had all these little side conversations of, hey, if I'm doing anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, just let me know. And Rose at the same time was very much like, if there's anything that's making you uncomfortable, just voice it right away. And they did a great job of closing the set down and making it just exclusively people that needed to be there. And everyone was very professional and courteous. And I think they oftentimes were more embarrassed than we were. So it was just a really great, everyone just created a great environment for that. And I think the most uncomfortable thing about it was 112 degrees outside and inside. And so we just felt gross, but, other than that, I think, it was really just kind of reassuring each other that like, we're here for the movie and we're not here to do anything else.
You said you have 2 weeks between getting cast and starting shooting.
Yeah.
So you're in unbelievable bodybuilding shape in this film. That means that you had to be pretty close to that by, you know, with only 2 weeks to get into what you called like cutting for bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So I work out regularly. So people are like, how'd you get so big for this role? I'm like, well, I used to compete in bodybuilding. So I always look like this. I just don't always look that lean. So it's funny, like the leaner you get and the more the muscle stands out, the bigger you look.
Huh.
I've always had a lot of muscle and continue to maintain that. And then it's just a matter of just kind of chiseling off a little bit of fat so the muscle stands out more. And that's kind of, I think I tend to just be about two to three weeks away for any production because you never know.
Yeah.
But also it's just, it's kind of just a lifestyle thing, I guess. You know, I'm much happier when I'm exercising. So that's just how I kind of roll. And then I feel terrible when I eat terribly. So I try to eat well, but that doesn't always work out for me because I'm surrounded by amazing food.
Can you tell me a bit more about what your life was like when you were in the competitive bodybuilding world?
Yeah, you know, it's it was kind of like a crazy time because I was working in law enforcement at the time. I wanted to make some changes in my life and wasn't happy in my career. And I think the two things that I really wanted to do, one was get in amazing shape and I just wanted to feel really strong was kind of like the big thing. And the other one was, I wanted to start acting and kind of like taking that more seriously and pursuing it. So I wound up joining a gym, just like in LA Fitness and working with a trainer there. And they suggested bodybuilding. I'd never thought about it, didn't really know what it was. But they just kind of suggested it as a way to like get set a goal and stay with it. And it is something that you can very clearly see the results as you're going along in the process. So I joined like an actual bodybuilder gym and kind of went from there, and it kind of became like a bit of a community where, you know, a lot of us are training for the same goal. And then you start to see there's like a little bit of drama in it, and there's like gym politics and politics with each show. And it's just kind of funny because you're like, oh, there's like this silly behind the scenes world of drama within this that doesn't even need to exist, but it does.
Yeah. Well, so you said that getting into bodybuilding and acting kind of went hand in hand for mm-hmm. you. Like, so when did acting become a passion, or how did those two work together?
Well, I always wanted to as a kid. And I think that in Indiana, I found it very difficult. I had a commercial agent and there weren't any parts really for me. So I found it difficult to book anything. And then I just kind of, I thought it might not be like a reasonable career for me, even as like a little kid. And I did kind of go into theater productions and things like that. But you also still get a bit of rejection in there. I mean, you're obviously not going to be right for every role. You're not going to get cast in every role. So I was like, man, maybe I just suck at this and I should just do something else. So I had artistically, I funneled all of my energy into music for a long time and did like every percussion ensemble, marching band, whatever that I could, because I always did want to stay connected to performance and art in some way. And it just wasn't until after college where I was like, you know, that is the thing that's going to make me happy. That like, that's what I've always wanted to do. And I've always just told myself that I'd never be good at it. And no one really told me that. So I think it was something that I just needed to experience for myself and took this class and was able to break down the barriers that I'd built for myself. And that's kind of what gave me the courage to pursue it. And then, you know, the bodybuilding stuff on top of it, like as I was doing it all together, it kind of really helped me with like motivational goal setting. And I think they both kind of fell into place at the same time and informed both sides of that art. And it was weird that this movie came about that kind of like, I don't know, put both of those on display.
Yeah. As I'm hearing you talk about it, what I'm finding so interesting is like for a long time, and I think that this is really awful and I'm hoping that it's changing now, or I think we see that it is changing. For a long time, it seemed that people in female presenting bodies who wanted to be actors would try to be as small as possible
mm-hmm.
And to shrink even in dangerous ways. And I'm thinking it's so interesting that your entry point into acting also included trying to build as much muscle and be as strong mm-hmm. as possible. Is there, tell me about that.
I think that was just something that like gave me confidence personally. Like I never wanted to be tiny. And so that was just not, that's just not what made me feel great. And I just, that's why I steered toward that route. I didn't really care what Hollywood thought about it, I guess. but it was something that made me feel good about myself. And I think that confidence helps in all aspects of life. It's like when you feel good about yourself, then there's some kind of energy that brings into a room. Yeah. I don't know.
Absolutely. Your character, Jackie, in Love Lies Bleeding also walks around the world, I think, knowing that she could take anybody at any moment, like that being physically challenged would not be a thing for her. How does that affect the way that Jackie, and I guess you in the same body as Jackie, walk through the world?
In everybody, there is a little bit of an insecurity. So I think Jackie kind of throwing it her body in people's face and her energy in people's face still stems from a place of insecurity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody, walks around feeling like 100% confident all the time. But that's how she has to survive, is like knowing her assets and knowing what she wants to do and pursuing it kind of almost naively. So I think for me, it was like just trying to find those little moments and blend the humanity and vulnerability into this like really powerful looking body, because I think it's really easy to blanket a person by how they look. Mm. And I didn't want that to be too, I guess, cliche in this character. So like, there's definitely an aura of confidence, but I wanted to show that, like, obviously as time goes on in the film too, that confidence breaks down quite a bit.
I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. You're listening to Q. More of my conversation with Katie O'Brien coming up.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
In Love Lies Bleeding, we see Jackie working towards her goals of competing in the bodybuilding world and really working on her strength. And one thing that I kept thinking about during the film and also afterwards was that it plays on this fear of strong women, right? Like that, mm-hmm. that is exaggerated in this film. And that's where some of the violence and some of the comedy and some of the, a lot of the thrillerness of it comes from. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, when I was doing it, I really was just kind of like focused so much on how Jackie was feeling about the world that I wasn't really focused on how the world was feeling about her. And I guess that's kind of like how I'm still operate as a person. But yeah, I mean, you can definitely see there's a weird fear in it, but there's also like a fetishization of it and like people trying to control it too.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. And, you know, we especially see that with Lou Sr. And, I kind of admired this little, it's like just a little bit in every action that he does, but he's constantly taking care of pets. And the second that like a pet goes, out of, his control, he reacts violently and you see this person that no longer takes care of basically something that he can control. So he has like, he has his bugs, you know.
This is the father character in the, yeah. in the film, we should say, for people. And he's kind yes. of the, for all intents and purposes, villain guy. Of sorts. He's the bad guy. Yeah.
The big bad. Yeah.
Right.
And it's, yeah, Ed Harris, who plays it so brilliantly and like, there, you know, he has these incredible moments of tenderness to people who he can control. We even have a moment where he kind of, he pulls me aside and to teach me something, you know, and kind of mocks me for like my perceived strength. And he's like, well, you think you're so strong, but here's a gun. It's a lot more powerful mm-hmm. than what you can do.
You only have to be very, very gentle. A bit more powerful than a punch, huh? One more time, line it up.
At the heart of this movie, there's a love story between your character, Jackie, and Kristen Stewart's character, Lou. You're two women, and yet the way that this story is presented and the fact that the characters are gay is not a plot point. The struggles that they encounter in the film have nothing to do with that. And mm-hmm. I found that so refreshing and seemed to me like such a leap forward in the way that we're just telling stories about people, regardless of, mm-hmm. of sexuality. Can you say a little bit more about that and maybe what the film means to you from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, Rose even went so far as to talk about like why my family or why Jackie's family was distanced from her. And it was, even that wasn't about sexuality. It was about her physical transformation. And that's what they considered monstrous. And so she, Rose, was very intentional in that it was not, none of this was about sexuality, which I just found really refreshing because I'm so used to someone's sexuality being the conflict of the film.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's, it's still very relevant to people because it, I do feel like that's still a major conflict with everyone, or not with everyone, but in people's lives. I mean, people are kicked out of their homes for it. It is still a very traumatic thing. And when you do have films like that, they can kind of, I think people can look at that and relate to it, and maybe feel seen in ways that that are really important. But I also think it's important to show that this is just how people live their lives and that that's, it, it doesn't have to be an issue. So for me, it was really refreshing to just see this love story that had nothing to do with their sexuality, just two people, behaving badly together. and the conflict is just, all the other shenanigans that they get up to. And I thought that that was, just so important and cool. And, I actually think that it made the film a little bit, maybe more relatable to even a broader audience. 'Cause they don't have to, it's not like something that they maybe necessarily would be able to relate to or understand. But I think that falling passionately in love with somebody and everything is very relatable universally.
You're looking pretty good in there.
Yeah?
You got some pretty serious lines going.
Jackie! There you are. Ladies. That's right, was you, Lou? Hey, wanna go grab a drink right now if you wanna come with us?
Thanks, I'm good here.
Babe, you know Lou here is a grade A dyke, right?
Says so.
There's been a huge reaction from the queer community, though, about this film. What are you hearing from folks?
I've had to tell people to stop texting me. like they're just like sending me screenshots of stuff, and I just, I like to shut a lot of that stuff off, but it is really positive, and I'm very happy that people are loving it so much. I'm seeing people that are going 3, 4, 5 times to watch it because they're just so excited about it. And like as an actor and someone in the film business, that's exciting alone because I'm like, yes, it's bringing people into the movies, which is so cool. But yeah, as a member of the queer community, I'm also like, yeah, okay, cool. We have like a new movie out, you know, we got something that is like good and well-made, and exciting and fun and unique and, hopefully really pulpy and something that, you know, that, I think people can just shut their minds off and enjoy. And I just love that.
Definitely true. Can confirm this is true. Just as we close out, is there something that playing your character Jackie has taught you that you're going to carry with you going forward as an actor?
Yeah, you know, because I was so close to this role and so like precious with this character, there are a lot of things that during filming, I feel like I started off being very distant even in my home life. And it was something that my wife had to call me out on very early, is like, you're just never present anymore because all I was thinking about was this character. And then, you know, once the movie was released, all I could think about was the stuff that was cut from it that was so precious and important to me. And so for me, it's like, it's a good reminder and a good experience in letting go once you've done the character, like leave the work at the job and then live your life outside of it. So that was my big learning experience. When I'm filming, you know, yeah, set aside some time to do character work, whatever, and learn the lines, things like that, but then make time for family. And then once it's done, let go of the project. You know, you actors get very little control over the final project at the end of the day, and trust in the director and producer, and trust that everyone wants to make a great project. And I think that was like the big thing for me to like learn to distance myself from it.
That's so interesting. I really enjoyed talking to you, Katie. Thank you.
Thank you.
That answer surprised me. And I appreciate how honest Katie was about learning that lesson from the film. That was Katie O'Brien, who stars in Love Lies Bleeding. It's out in theaters now. That's it for this episode, but you can check out another podcast in your feed right now. It's my conversation with Adeline, who makes absolutely gorgeous music, and it's deep music. She has a pretty incredible story. She grew up in the church. Her dad was an evangelical minister, and, you know, she says growing up, Jesus was her best friend. And then she learned that being queer was wrong in the view of the church she was raised in, and that she herself was queer. And we talk a lot about how she reconciled those parts of herself and how music helped her through it. And also she tells the most beautiful coming out story about her experience with her own family. You can check that out in our podcast feed. I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. I'll see you next time.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.